This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Nashra' insha'Allah, we will begin tonight explaining Suratul Mulk, a chapter in Juz' Tabarak, the first chapter in Juz' Tabarak, Juz' number 29 of the Quran, which is known by the first word, Tabarak, and the chapter is called Al-Mulk. And sometimes it's also called Tabarak. Yani sometimes the name is Tabarak. Recently, Ikhwa, a lot of the people started circulating a lot of the ahadith regarding the virtues of certain chapters of the Quran. يقول لك فضل سورة ياسين, فضل سورة الرحمن, the virtue of سورة ياسين, the virtue of سورة الرحمن, and الأنعام, and so forth. And if you actually inspect the chain of transmitters regarding these chapters, regarding these ahadith which indicate the virtues of certain chapters of the Quran, you will find it weak. So you have to be extremely careful with the chain of transmitters. Now, some of the people will come back to you and say, Ya akhi, take it easy. We're trying to attract people to the Quran. We're trying to make the Quran more inviting to them. But this is not how our religion runs. You should be attracted to the Quran without a fabricated hadith. You should appreciate the Quran, Kalamullah, the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, without having to make up a story for you. But regarding Surah Al-Mulk, there are authentic ahadith concerning its virtue. We have authentic accounts which indicate that chapter Al-Mulk has virtues. And this is what we will begin sharing with you. The first hadith, أخرجه أبو داود والترمذي, والترمذي حسنة. He said it's a good chain of narrators. والشيخ الألباني also labeled the hadith to be حسن, good. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, أبو هريرة narrated رضي الله عنه, أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, the prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, إن سورة من القرآن 30 آية شفعت لرجل حتى غفر له وهي سورة تبارك الذي بيده الملك. Indeed, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there is a chapter in the Quran which interceded on behalf of a man until all his sins were forgiven. Indeed, this chapter is made of 30 verses, and this chapter is and he recited the first verse, تبارك الذي بيده الملك. Another wording of this hadith, that this chapter interceded on behalf of this man, فأخرجته من النار وأدخلته الجنة. So the intercession of the chapter benefited this man, that he was taken out of hell and admitted into Jannah. يقول المناوي رحمه الله في فيض القدير that this man used to recite this chapter a lot. كان يلازم قراءتها. And in this, there is an indication that we should recite this chapter as often as possible. طيب, this really doesn't give Tabarak any speciality, any particular. صحيح? Why I'm saying this? What is the special here about Tabarak? What? All the Quran does this. يعني ورد أحاديث, we have أحاديث that anything that you recite from the Quran will come and intercede for you on the day of judgment. Give you the example. في مستدرك الحاكم وقال على شرط مسلم وافقه الذهبي حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الصيام والقرآن يشفعان للعبد يوم القيامة. Your fasting, whether it is mandatory or voluntary, will intercede on behalf of you on the day of judgment. Also the Quran will intercede on your behalf on the, of the day of judgment. That's why I'm telling you that this does not give Tabarak any special status, because all of the Quran does this. Look, الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يقول الصيام, fasting will say, أي رب, my Lord, منعته الطعام والشراب والشهوة طوال النهار أو في بالنهار. I deprived him from eating and drinking and fulfilling his sexual desire. Of course, a fasting person, these are the things that we were not allowed to do when we were fasting during the course of the day. بالنهار. فشفعني فيه. Allow me to intercede on his behalf. ويقول القرآن, the Quran will say, أي رب, my Lord, منعته النوم بالليل. I deprived him from sleeping at night, because he used to pray what? تهجد with the Quran. فشفعني فيه, giving me the intercession on the behalf of this person. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said what? فيشفعان. All the Quran will do this, including what? تبارك. وعندنا حديث أبي أمامة في صحيح الإمام مسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي شفيعا لأصحابه يوم القيامة. Recite the Quran, the Quran will come interceding on your behalf in the day of judgment. طيب. Consequently, nothing particular. Here is the particular. The speciality of Tabarak. الحديث أخرجه الحاكم في المستدرك وقال صحيح ووافقه الذهبي. It's, يعني الإمام أبو عبد الله النيسابوري compiled it in a book called المستخرج. For you to understand, because you hear that name all the time, الحاكم. What الحاكم did, he studied the conditions of البخاري and Muslim for their hadith. You see, البخاري and Muslim identified certain criteria to compile a hadith in their books. So, الحاكم looked for the ahadith which al-Bukhari and Muslim did not compile, but they need the requirements. Al-Bukhari and Muslim did not compile any all the ahadith which meets the requirements. Not all of them. Not every single hadith. Al-Bukhari in particular, because actually he was trying to give it the name Mukhtasar, the summarized. He wanted to give what? A short. What Al-Hakim did, he looked for the ahadith which meets the criteria of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and they did not compile it. And he would come and say, this hadith meets the requirement of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and they did not compile it. Here it is in my book. What the hadith says, hadith Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Surah Tabarak, هي المانعة من عذاب القبر is that chapter which will protect you from the punishment in the grave. So this is now the speciality of Tabarak. الإمام النسائي compiled this hadith وحسنه الألباني. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, بس للأمانة العلمية يا إخوة يعني الحديث هذا في سنده كلام متكلم فيه وقالوا إنه يصح موقوف على ابن مسعود يعني is not attributed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Where he said من قرأ سورة تبارك كل ليلة, whoever recites chapter تبارك every night, منعه الله من عذاب القبر. Allah سبحانه وتعالى will protect him from the punishment in the grave. وكنا في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نسميها المانعة. And we used to call that chapter during the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that chapter which will protect you from the punishment in the grave. Even though I'm telling you that the hadith is questioned regarding its authenticity, but له شاهد. What lahu shahid? Sometimes the hadith could be weak, but you will find someone else compiled a similar version of the hadith, but from another route, from another transmitters, from another chain. You end up with multiple chains. Look at this. Al-Hakim again, we go back to Al-Hakim fil Mustadrak, he got it from Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. الإمام الطبراني في المعجم he got it from عبد الرزاق الصنعاني اليمني صاحب المصنف, the one who compiled the book of hadith called المصنف. And both of them, both of ابن المبارك وعبد الرزاق, they heard it from سفيان الثوري who heard it from عاصم عن زر عن عبد الله بن مسعود. So this hadith is authentic. Listen to this hadith. يقتل الرجل في قبره. So a person will be visited in his grave by who? By the angels. فَتُؤْتَى رِجْلَهُ. So the angels will come from the side of his feet. His feet will speak. فَتَقُولُ لَيْسَ لَكُمْ عَلَيَّ مِنْ قِبَلِي سَبِيلٍ. His feet will say to the angels, you cannot approach him from here. He used كان يقرأ سورة الملك. He used to stand in salah and recite سورة الملك on me. وهذا دليل على قراءتها في الصلاة. This is an evidence that you should recite it in the salah. Because his feet is saying what? He used to stand in salah and recite الملك. Then they will go to, of course, when a person lays in the ground, يا إخوة, في القبر ينام عليه. His side, his right side. So the angels will come from his chest or his stomach. ثم يؤتى من قبل صدره أو بطنه. Both. Then the chest will say, you cannot approach him from here. His chest was the container which memorized Surah Al-Mulk. شوف. But this is an evidence that you should also memorize it. Number three, the third place, ثم يؤتى من قبل رأسه. Then a person will be approached from his head. فيقال, then it will be said to them, إنه كان يقرأ. The mouth is where? he used to recite Surah Tabarak. فَهِيَ, look at this, فَهِيَ الْمَانِعَةُ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. It will protect you from the punishment in the grave. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا إخوة ثبت أنه كان يقرأها كل ليلة صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, it was established that he used to recite it every single night. Hadith which is authentic according to Imam Al-Albani, compiled في سنن الترمذي, حديث جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ في كل ليلة قبل نومه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to recite every single night before he goes to sleep, ألف لام ميم تنزيل الكتاب لا ريب فيه من رب العالمين السجدة, أن تبارك الذي بيده الملك, سورة السجدة وسورة الملك. Before he sleeps, before he goes to sleep. Good? لا قبل نومه, before he sleeps, while he's laying down, huh?
Because the hadith, as you said, the hadith said, the angel is going to come on your feet, and the angel will say that.
Then his chest, then his mouth.
So that mean he does, he used to do it when he's praying.
يعني this hadith is not connected to that hadith, but in general he used to recite alif lam mim السجدة and tabarak before he would go to sleep. Now we come to the $1 million question. I don't have $1 million. What is the relevance? What is the relationship between عذاب القبر والصورة? الكلام هذا مش is not just empty talk. Islam يا إخوة is not a mystic. Is not and this is the invitation for you to reflect upon the Quran. What is the wisdom? إيه الحكمة إن هذه الصورة تنجي من عذاب القبر? What is the wisdom? First of all, what is عذاب القبر? What is a punishment in the grave? له شأن عظيم يا إخوة. الله المستعان. Imagine, والله العظيم, out of this world, that you're carried in a car, in a box, placed underneath the ground. You only get as much as your body is, huh? And people who love you, placing sand on you, dirt in you, covering you with dirt. Actually, if someone wanna show love for you, care for you, huh? Subhanallah. Hadith al-Bara' ibn Azib, imagine the last experience we're going to have with the living is the hearing of the echoes of the drumming of the feet of the people who buried you after, once while they are leaving. إِنَّ الْمَيِّتَ لَيَسْمَعُ قَرْعَ نِعَال مَنْ شَيَّعُ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. ورد هذا في أكثر من حديث. Imagine the last experience with this world is feet, is shoes, people leaving you, abandoning you. طبعا, four things were mentioned regarding the grave. Let's understand. ظلمة القبر, the darkness of the grave. ضمة القبر, the squeezing of the grave. فتنة القبر, the trial in the grave, وعذاب القبر ونعيم, and the punishment in the grave. Shall I repeat those again? ظلمة القبر, the darkness in the grave. Two, the squeezing of the grave. ضمة القبر. Three, فتنة القبر, the test by the angels, the three famous questions. And then as a result of this test, whether you receive a punishment or whether what? Quickly, what is ظلمة القبر? ثبت هذا إخوة في حديث البخاري ومسلم. أم محجن A woman who used to clean the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mar'a al-sawda, her name is Ummu Mihjan. Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at night was asleep, she passed away. The companions did not wake him up to pray janazah on her. So they ended up burying her without disturbing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The following day he looked and he did not see her. He asked where she is. قَالُوا مَاتَتْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. She passed away last night and we buried her. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got upset. And he went and he prayed janazah on her. In the grave. She's inside the grave. وَيُشْرَعْ هَذَا إِخْوَى. If someone was buried without janazah being observed in him, قَوْلُ الْجُمْهُورِ, the opinion of the majority of the jurists, that a person can go, if she's a woman, he stands by the head. If she's a woman, he stands in the middle. If he's a man, by the head. And he prays the four takbira on her, or on him. Provided that he did not pray it and no one else prayed. And he is a relative. Or people prayed and he is a very close relative of that person. But that should be like a week time or 3 days maximum, some of the jurists. Even though Al-Malikiyya, by the way, they said no to this. But Al-Hadith hadha shahid. The Hadith is the evidence that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, went and prayed janazah on this woman because he did not join the janazah. And after he prayed janazah, he said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْقُبُورِ مَمْلُوءَةً ظلمة على أصحابها وصلاتي عليهم تنيرها لهم صلى الله عليه وسلم. These graves are filled with darkness on those who are buried there, and my salah upon them illuminate the grave for them. وذلك احنا بندعو إيه للميت بنقول إيه اللهم أنزل على قبره النور. و الله illuminate his grave or her grave, one of the dua that we make for the deceased. So this is what? Zulmatul Qabr. What about Dhammatul Qabr? عنا حديث عائشة في مسند أحمد and غيره. When Sa'd ibn Mu'adh هذا إخوة, when he passed away, imagine the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shaked. اهتز لموته عرش الرحمن. Look at the status of a believer in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only this, وَفُتِحَتْ لَهُ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ, the gates of the heavens were open. وَشَيَّعَهُ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ مَلَكٍ, and 70,000 angels attended his janazah. Look, when he was buried, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at his companions and he said, لَقَدْ ضُمَّ ضَمَّ, he was squeezed a squeeze. In another wording, if there is someone who would be spared from the squeezing of the grave, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh would. لَوْ نَجَى أَحَدٌ مِّنْ ضَمَّةِ الْقَبْرِ لَنَجَى مِنْهَا سَعْدُ بْنَ مُعَاذْ. يعني the Prophet ﷺ is trying to tell you what? Look at the status of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, and in spite of this, he still what? Was squeezed. وفي حديث لأبي أيوب الأنصاري, الحديث في معجم الطبراني الكبير, that they buried a child under the age of puberty, طفل. And we know أطفال المسلمين, the children of the Muslims, before the puberty they are what? In spite of this, this little boy was squeezed too. What is the squeezing? It's really very fascinating. You know, Earth is your mother. And the only one who will accept you after your death is your mother. بالله عليك, let's say that you are the best and you have all the world loving you. Will they keep your body after death? والله لو انت ميت, even if you are who? and no one will accept you. No one wants you anymore after you die. You know the only place who will want you is who? Your mom, your mother. ولذلك في حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث سلمان الفارسي تمسحوا بالأرض فإنها بكم برة. Touch the ground. التمسح here means السجود. يعني the scholars explained it as السجود. Do a lot of سجود. Feel earth. Because earth one day will be good to you. Don't we read, يا إخوة, that there was one of the people, والأثر هذا في البخاري, just to show you that one of the people, a Christian who accepted Islam, and he used to write al-wahy for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. What happened? Then he left Islam and he joined the Christians again. And he went and he told them, I am the one who used to tell Muhammad what to write, صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني I am the one who used to tell him the Quran. Lying, yeah. So when he passed away, when he died, they buried him. In the morning, they found earth kicking his body out. الحديث هذا في البخاري. Well, I just want to tell you that you should be happy that earth what? I just want to show you that earth sometimes may not what? So in the morning, when the people who buried him saw his body on the surface of earth, they said, Ashabu Muhammad did this. These are the companions of Muhammad. They got his body out. So they dug deeper. They dug a deeper hole. And they buried him. The following morning, they found his body on the surface of the earth. 3 days in a row. And at the end, they left him. They couldn't bury him. Now when you come back to your mother, what happens? Your mother misses you. She gives you a hug. Yeah, في صحيح البخاري. Yes. The man? Yes, في صحيح البخاري. So, your mother will squeeze you a little bit, give you a hug, but if you're a believer, it's going to let you go right away. But if you did not do well, if you got in trouble, it's going to keep squeezing you until the ribs are what? فهذه ضمة القبر. Let's come to الشاهد. فتنة القبر. And this is where تبارك comes. What is فتنة القبر يا إخوة? The three questions. What is the first question? What is the first question in the grave? By the way, you receive two angels. These two angels are very intimidating in looks, in addressing you. That is why it's called fitna. It's not like they're going to come and ask you, Abdul Malik, who's your Lord? Tell us, Abdul Malik, who's your Lord? No. ولكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he narrated that hadith, إني قد أوحي إلي أنكم تفتنون في قبوركم مثل فتنة المسيح الدجال. It was revealed to me that you will be tested in the graves exactly like the fitna of the Dajjal. What is the fitna of the Dajjal? Deception. So these two angels, their job is to deceive you. Who's your Lord? And the person will say, Allah. Are you sure? Are you sure? So their job actually is to what? Now, only Allah, because the questions are simple. I mean, a first grader can answer these questions. But only those who are granted steadfastness will be able to answer these questions. Because when that person answers the questions correctly, what will happen? A caller will say what? Sadaq, he spoke the truth. Shroud him from Jannah. Furnish his grave from Jannah. Open for him a gate to Jannah. And he will sleep the sleep of a bride and a groom. And هذا نعيم القبر. But when the person says, ah, that is the punishment of the grave. Then a caller will say, he lied. Shroud him from fire. والعياذ بالله, furnish his grave from fire, open for him a gate to hell. We forgot to mention that also the grave will be expanded for the believer as far as what? We come to Tabarak now. Tabarak. And this. Only, ya ikhwa, those who possess Tawheed will be granted steadfastness in the grave. And Surah Tabarak is about Tawheed. All of Tabarak is about Tawheed. I'm going to tell you something, and if you're really smart, and I'm challenging you, I'm not yani belittling you, you will understand what I'm saying. Look at these two verses in a chapter called Ibrahim, someone who came to call humanity to Tawheed. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the past, two parables. One parable for Tawheed and one parable for Shirk. Let's hear the one for Tawheed.
أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ.
Haven't you seen how Allah sets a parable? A goodly word is like a goodly tree. Ibn Abbas said the good word in this chapter is La ilaha illallah. Is a tree which you plant in your heart. Asluha thabit, and it connects you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wafaruha fi السماء. Tu'ti ukulaha kulla حين بإذن ربها. When you go through trouble, you remember Allah. He will take care of you. When you fear, you remember Allah. When you run out of money, the fruits. You gain the fruits. Take the fruits. As long as you're feeding, you're nourishing that tree. You're nourishing it with knowledge, with actions, salah, staying away from the haram. You're keeping up with that tree. That's not my subject. But look at the other parable.
ومثل كلمة خبيثة كشجرة خبيثة اجتثت من فوق الأرض ما لها من قرار.
And the likeness of a wicked tree, which is the tree of shirk. Look.
يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة.
Hopefully you got the message. Allah will grant those who were in Tawheed in the dunya with steadfastness. Where? You know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was narrating the trial, the fitna of the grave in a famous hadith, hadith al-Bara ibn Azib, when he came to the questioning of the two angels to the believer, he recited the verse. يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا. That those who weren't tawheed in the dunya, they will be granted steadfastness in the grave. When they are asked, who's your Lord? Rabbi Allah. My Lord is Allah. What is your deen? Deeni al-Islam. Steadfastness. Who's your messenger? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The password here, or the relevance between the punishment in the grave and Tabarak, is what? Is Tawheed. There was no fourth question, three questions only. The different wording of this hadith, it's rewording of the questions. Like instead of saying, who's the messenger who was sent to you? What do you say about the man who was sent to you? You understand? So, but those are only three questions. But if you read different hadith, These are different wording of the questions, and that shows you that those two angels are trying to do what? Confuse the person. Now, very quickly, what is Tawheed? Mahawa, listen to me. I will not be able to go verse by verse, but if you understand this lecture tonight, you will be able to understand Surah Al-Mulk. When we talk of Tawheed, the first aspect is called the Rububiyyah. What is the Rububiyyah? That you believe the following. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything. Two, and that's where Al-Mulk comes in. He is the absolute owner of everything, Al-Mulk. So Al-Mulk is one of the variables, the elements of Al-Rububiyyah. Three, he takes care of everything. التدبير الخلق والملك والتدبير those three. الله خالق كل شيء وهو على كل شيء وكيل. Allah created everything and he makes everything function. ولذلك انت بتحمد رب العالمين في الأنعام الحمد لله الذي او الأنعام فضل الشيخ الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض. All praise be to Allah that He created the heavens and the earth. طيب, did He create everything and He left it? That's where الملك comes in. He owns it. أول سبع. الحمد لله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. All praise be to Allah that everything in the heavens and the earth what? Belong to Him. He owns it. And that's al-mulk. That's the meaning of al-mulk. تبارك الذي بيده al-mulk. طيب. Not only this, He takes care of it. He provides for you. He gives you health. He gives you wealth. He gives you children. He gives you what you ask for. Now, there is a famous line, and remember it, which says what? توحيد الربوبية يستوجب توحيد الألوهية. The fact that you believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole creator of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sovereign Lord, the absolute owner of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of everything. Then you should do what?
Worship
Him. هذا هو. بدك شوف 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 شوف. يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم. O mankind, worship your Lord who did what to you? He created you. شوف إبراهيم when he was addressing the people. قال أفرأيتم ما كنتم تعبدون أنتم وآباؤكم الأقدمون. When he had that encounter with him destroying the asnam, the idols which they used to worship, he said, you know these idols you and your ancestors used to worship, man? فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوٌّ لِي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. They are my enemies. Except, وهذا هو لي البراء. That you have to what? Disown these. الولاء هو. البراء هو. إلا الولاء لله. البراء من الأصنام والولاء لله. البراء من الكفر وأهله والولاء للإيمان وأهله. إلا رب العالمين. طب who's رب العالمين يا إبراهيم؟ who's رب العالمين؟ من هو؟ look 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 شوف والله يا أخي. الذي خلقني فهو يهدين. تبارك is about this. You're gonna see تبارك is about this. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وعلى كل شيء قدير. الذي خلق الموت والحياة. الذي خلق سبع
وهو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلو. شوف, until the last verse, what is the source of life? What is the source of life? What is the source of life? ما قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا فمن يأتيكم بماء معين. تبارك is all about this, establishing the lordship of Allah, so that what? You turn to him in ibadah. Look at Ibrahim. الذي خلقني فهو يهدين. Not only this. والذي هو يطعمني ويسقين. شوف. Food and water. وإذا مرضت فهو يشفين. When I get sick, he what? شوف 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 الإماتة. شوف 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 الإماتة والإحياء. ها الإماتة والإحياء. شوف تبارك الذي بيده الملك وعلى كل شيء القدير الذي خلق الموت. ها والذي, what is the verse here? والذي يميتني ثم يحيين. ما هو كله أهو. And the one who will make me die and he will resurrect me again. والذي أطمع أن يغفر لي خطيئتي يوم الدين. Look look look, after establishing the lordship of Allah, هذا هو توحيد الربوبية. هذا هو توحيد الربوبية. أهو right here. What did you do? What did you do, Sheikh Eid? What is the next verse? ربي. He did what? Didn't the Prophet say الدعاء هو العبادة? He did عبادة using what? ربي هب لي ملكا هب لي حكما وألحقني بالصالحين. أشوف هذا. تبارك is about this. All of تبارك. Read any verse, you're going to find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing his lordship, and on that basis he is asking you to do what? ما هو توحيد الربوبية لا يدخل أحدا في دين الإسلام. Remember this. You believing that Allah is the creator, the sustainer, the provider, the one who gives you life, the one who's going to resurrect, doesn't make you a Muslim. Pay attention to this. Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, they never denied this. Abu Jahl, if you ask him, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ Allah is going to tell you Allah. Who created the heavens and the earth? They Abu Lahab is going to see Allah. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ Who created you? They're going to say who? Allah. But where did they stop? أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. Man, he wants us to leave the idols and pray to one God. لا. وَذَكُمْ كُفَّارٌ. Some of the brothers, they come to you and they tell you, يا شيخ والله, I go to this man. Say, who created the heavens and the earth? He's going to say Allah. Who created Allah? God. God made me. God knows everything. This doesn't make you a Muslim. That's necessary, so it's important that you know this, because this will give your tawheed what? Your monotheism what? Quality. Because look, look throughout the Quran. Look. عايزين نسترجع النمل.
قل الحمد لله وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الله خير أما يشركون.
Who's better, Allah or these idols they worship? طب look at this.
أمن خلق السماوات والأرض وأنزل لكم من السماء ماء فأنبتنا به حدائق ذات بهجة ما كان لكم أن تنبتوا شجرها.
All of this is lordship. Created the heavens and the earth, brought down rain, vegetation came down, beautiful gardens. All of this is lordship. Here is the question regarding the worship.
أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ
اللَّهِ. Why do you pray in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost then? Why? Why? Why do you pray in the name of idols? Why? Why do you pray in the name of created beings? Why? Why? This is it. Likewise, Surah Al-Mu'minun. Yeah?
قل لمن الأرض ومن فيها إن كنتم تعلمون.
To whom belongs the earth and what's in the earth if you know. سيقولون لله قل أفلا تذكرون.
قل من رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم.
سيقولون لله قل أفلا تتقون. Always تبارك is like this. تبارك is establishing the lordship of Allah for you, so that the question come, how come you did not worship him? ولذلك قال أقول أأمنتم من في السماء أن يخسف بكم الأرض فإذا هي تبور، أم أمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاصبا فستعلمون كيف، أم من هذا الذي هو جند لكم ينصركم من دون الرحمن، أم من هذا الذي يرزقكم إن أمسك رزقه. ها شوف، all of these are what bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that what? You only direct your worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولذلك يا إخوة, in closing, they tell you لا إله إلا الله. What does it mean? There is an Arabic meaning for it, and hopefully you have the right interpretation in English, translation for it in English. What does it mean in Arabic? لا إله إلا الله. What is it? What is لا إله إلا الله in Arabic? لا معبود بحق إلا الله. How do you translate لا إله إلا الله in English? شوف, right here, there is no God except يعني God. يعني he's going to say that, except God. Is that the right interpretation?
No.
No. Why? Because there are God, other gods. Yeah, you don't believe them, but there are other gods. There are people who worship that Jesus is a God. There are people who believe that the cow is a God. Ezra is a God. But the proper translation is what? There is no deity worthy, deserves my worship, my submission, except who? لو لا معبود بحق إلا الله. Why? Now comes in the question, why? 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 Because of his lordship. He made me, he created me because of الخلق والملك, which is that chapter we're explaining, والتدبير. He takes care of me. He created me, he owns me, and he takes care of me. And this is what Surah Al-Mulk is all about, brothers and sisters in Islam. Let me just finish something here and we'll open the floor for questions. غالبا يا إخوة ما يأتي هذا السؤال, before the thought travels away. غالبا يا إخوة ما يأتي هذا السؤال, طب يا شيخ أنت بتقول الملك, طب ما هو we own two stuff, right? Don't you own? طب ما أنت تملك أيضا, صحيح؟ ها؟ Don't you own or what? Don't you own? But your ownership, your sovereignty is limited to what you have. But if Allah owns what? You own your car, but you don't own my car. صحيح ولا لا؟ So your ownership is what? That's why they give these companies what? Limited. You know, the corporation, they said limited. صحيح, it's limited. That's all. Subhanallah, whatever you own, you will always going to try to find people who want to compete with you in it. They want to take it away from you. Let me compete with this guy. He has successful business. Let me be like him. And if they cannot do this, what they're going to do? No, what? Not what? Envy you. It's going to envy you. So whatever you're own is, you're owning is what? You see, Allah owns what He created, what He found. But a lot of us own stuff because I inherited from who? Or I read somebody, I cheated somebody out of it. صحيح؟ But Allah owns what? لله ملك السماوات والأرض. Look at this. يخلق ما يشاء. Because He owns it. He creates whatever He wants. طب بالله عليك, in your house, we own this facility as a Muslim community, right? Can we do something without going to the city and getting a permit? Huh? صحيح؟ Don't we have to go to the city and get a permit for anything that we do here, even though we own it? And they come and tell you, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this, you can do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what? فَعَالٌ لِمَّا يُرِيدٌ لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلٌ
وهم يسألون. شوف الـ 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 سبحان الله. Whatever you own, one of two things are going to happen to you. Whether what you own is going to be taken away from you, or whether you're going to be taken away from it. إما أن يؤخذ منك وإما أن تؤخذ منه. One of the two. But Allah, whatever Allah, was that one of the names of Allah? خير الوارثين. Your children are going to inherit you, and your grandchildren are going to inherit your children, and then grandchildren are going to inherit them. And time will come that everybody is what? وذلك الملك يومئذ الحق للرحمن. Everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فإن شاء الله بإذن الله تعالى we'll begin next lecture إن شاء الله. Going through it quickly, but now you understand the theme of the surah. This is how, if you can go home right now and I'm telling you, you read it and you're going to understand a lot of the stuff there. You're going to understand the context of it. That all these verses, whether the شوف تبارك الذي بيده الملك وعلى كل شيء قدير. In his hand is the kingship. That's important, by the way. Because sometimes you own stuff and you don't have a say about it. You own it, but some people came and took it away from you. Confiscated it from you. لا, Allah owns it and he does. شوف, الذي خلق الموت والحياة. الذي خلق سبعة. شوف, look, ما ترى في خلق, look at the perfection. والأرض وهكذا. فنسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن ينفعنا بسورة تبارك, and to protect all of us from the punishment in the grave, يا إخوة. By the virtue of understanding this chapter. This chapter is so beautiful. So inshallah, maybe next lecture we'll go over half of it, and the next one the other half. But this is what we're going to do with these chapters, that we give you the theme so yourself can try to understand it. Let's take some questions inshallah. Ah.
These two were created and Allah was forever blessed.
Now. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start? I think the question should be, why did Allah start with death? لإذلال الآدمي. To bring us down. Come on. You're alive now. Because he's addressing living people. So you're awaiting what? Death. Your next turn is death. Why also the scholars, they say, because initially the first thing was death. Before you were created, what? هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا. Where were you before this world? So we actually started with death. Now you're in the second phase, which is life. Then you're gonna die again. Then what? You're alive again, and that life is for eternity. نسأل الله أن تكون في الجنة رب العالمين.
صف.
Very interesting, Abdul Karim. Just pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. I'm sorry. Just these are. You know when Namrud was debating with Ibrahim, or Ibrahim was debating with Namrud. You remember what was the first question?
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ.
شوف, what was the first question?
إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتِ.
Namrud didn't grasp this, didn't understand this. He said, I can do that. Just look at the dummy guy. That tells you, he brought two guys, okay, you die, you live. No. لا, الإحياء, that when you're in the womb of your mother, an angel comes and places the soul. الإماتة, dying, that your body is still there, but your soul is what? Not killing. He's talking about killing. But subhanAllah, Ibrahim teaches us a beautiful lesson that
When you debate with a dummy person like this, don't try to make them understand your point. Move on to something. What? What did he say? What was the next question? قال إبراهيم إن ربي يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب. يلا يا سيدي يلا. فبوهت الذي كفر. My Lord brings the sun from the east to the west. You change that order. Don't spend your time with people like those. You know. صفت. Go ahead. Sure. ما هو the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said لو نجا أحد من ضمة القبر لنجا منها سعد بن معاذ. سعد بن معاذ يعني he wanna tell you the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is trying to tell you that it's inevitable that everyone will be squeezed, will be released, the believer will be released, and the other one will continue with his squeezing, that his ribs will be replaced. يعني initially yes initially. الله أعلم يعني. جزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, أستغفرك وأتوب إليك, والحمد لله رب العالمين. بارك الله فيكم. جزاك الله خير.